It says Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even unto the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. At that time, that is, at the time that the king of the north comes unto his end, and none help him, shall Michael stand. And at the same time there shall be trouble such as never was even unto that very time. Only Yahweh's people who have their names written in the book will be delivered, none other. For this study has led us step by step down unto our own day. Through this study we see that the time of trouble is but a step in the future, that the only event yet to be fulfilled before the trouble begins is that the king of the north coming unto his end. Then follows the reward of the faithful. What a solemn time we have come to, brothers, sisters. Do you realize that if you do not now make an effort to put your name in the book, it may be forever too late? And is that not better to have your name there, even if the trouble were 100 years in the future? Now is the time to act. Now is the day of the salvation brought unto you. Today, inspiration, please, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Only those who heed the revelation, heed the revealed word of the Yahweh, will find deliverance and speak and peace. Let's read that again. Only those who heeds the revealed word of the Yahweh will find deliverance and peace. None others will. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting fire and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here we are told that in the time of the trouble, these arise, some to live forever and some to die again. So now there's going to be a resurrection take place in this time. Okay. Do you now realize that not only the time of the trouble is at the door, but even this special resurrection, do you actually see that in the time of the trouble, while the living saints are being delivered, these dead who rise unto everlasting life are also delivered from their graves? Do you realize that this time of the trouble is in the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, the Son? For the day which the promise that prophet Elijah announces, do you actually know that he is to turn the hearts of the fathers and of the children toward each other? Now, did you get that now? The day which the promised prophet Elijah announces. Okay. Lest Yeshua smites the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:5-6. Do you see that the prophet appears in a day that he can restore all things? And I'm going to put this right now to you right now. You can call it what you want to. But I represent this mouthpiece of this prophet as the antithetical David with the message of the, and I come in the spirit and the power of the Elijah. So whenever the time comes for Yahweh to reveal all the aspects of this to me, then you'll know that's where we're at the same time. So he said, everything that was lost through sin, even the kingdom, do you know that the resurrection of Daniel 12 is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians and Revelation 20 verse 5? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Yeshua himself, the Son, shall descend from the heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahweh the Father, and the dead in the Yeshua shall rise first. Revelation 20, verse 4-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Yahshua and for the word of the Father Yahweh, and which hath not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with the Yahshuas 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. That they shall be priests of the Yahweh and of the Yeshua, his son, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. For the Apostle Paul obviously speaks, okay now, it says it's 144,000, these saints, during 1,000 years are going to reign. When it says reign, they're not going to just live with Yahshua, they're going to reign with him as kings and priests, it's 144,000. For the Apostle Paul obviously speaks of the same resurrection as the Apostle John, because in it only the holy ones are raised. Both Paul's and John's descriptions make clear that these arise at the commencement of the 1,000 years. This we see from the facts that they lived with the Yahshua 1,000 years. And that they were caught up to meet the Yahshua in the air, that they were on their way to live with the Yahshua during the 1,000 years, not Yahshua with them. Now, to line up all of the resurrection, we must take into the account also the one of Ezekiel 37, verse 1, and verse 11 to 14. For the hand of the Yahweh was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Yahshua, I'm going to put Yahshua in there now, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of the bones. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of the Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yeshua. This is the Son talking. I should leave it at that. When I have opened your graves, O my people. Now, why was Yeshua able to open up the graves? The Son, because he had redeemed these people by his blood. These are his people and laid in that grave. They're coming forth out of the grave by the power of the blood of the Yeshua. And you will read that in Revelation 13:20. It says that Yahweh the Father raised up his Son by the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. It says, Yahshua the Father raised his Son up by the power of the blood. Okay. It took the blood of Yahshua that he had shed on the cross. His Father raised his Son up from the grave by the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Okay, it says, and you shall know that I am the Yahshua when I have opened your graves, O you my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. So the power of the blood brings him out of the grave, then Yahshua puts his spirit in him, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and performed it, says the Yahshua. So who are these, this valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37? They are the whole house of ancient Israel, of the righteous that were saved in ancient Israel. They all died in their due time in the ancient Israel time, all the righteous of the Israelites. And they believed in the blood, they had faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant that was to come to redeem them. It says so there in Hebrews 10:14. It says, Yahshua, by one offering, has perfected forever those that are sanctified in their grave. His blood on the cross has perfected forever those that were sanctified by the promise of his blood. Okay. So it says that in this resurrection, only Yahweh, the Father's own people, Israel, arise with no sinner among them. Moreover, these do not meet the Yahshua in the air, for they are taken into the land of Israel, Palestine. This resurrection, therefore, is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians, of the Revelation, or of the Daniel 12. It must be a separate resurrection. Let us now come back to Daniel 12:1-3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In these three verses, several things clearly stand out. Number one, only those whose names are written in the books are delivered, and there are therefore no foolish ones among them. Number two, those who are resurrected, however, are mixed, both foolish and wise come up. Number three, the statement, and they that be wise, implying that some be foolish, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, indicates that these wise ones are from among the raised. Number four, that if the wise are from among the resurrected and turn many to righteousness, then they must be resurrected in the probationary time of the last parabolic hour of the 12th that we're in now, and the time of the salvation. So now this is not only the time of the Michael stand up and the resurrection taking place, but this is probationary time that we're in the judgment of the living. I started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, closing up the Adventist and the judgment of the dead. We entered into the time of salvation. The 12th parabolic hour is designated for the time for salvation for the righteous. Okay. This is when they seal their salvation. The living, during this time, the 12th hour, they seal their salvation. He says, your work, my work, will not cease with this life. For a little while, we may rest in the grave. But when the call comes, we shall, in the kingdom of the Yahweh, take up our work once more. Testimony, Volume 7, page 17, Ellen G. White. Ellen G. White is plainly saying that she's going to rest in the grave a while, but she's going to come up when the call comes for her to come up. She's going to come up in the kingdom, and she's going to continue her work. So Sister White is not finished with her work. She's going to come up to meet us during this 12th parabolic hour, and we're going to join her for her to finish her work that she started. Okay. So she has a work to do here in the end time. She's going to be one of these mixed wives of the resurrection. Okay. Daniel 12:4-10. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, what is meant by being wise? Let us turn to Matthew 25:1-4. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Here we see that the wise are those who take extra oil, extra truth, that lightens the rest of their way. Finally, it plainly appears that this mixed resurrection is a test. That is, they are all given the opportunity to be wise, to turn many to righteousness, but only a part of them do so. Some of them again fall into sin, and therefore they awake to shame and everlasting contempt, everlasting disobedience. But the wise awake to everlasting life, never again to die. This plainly shows that those who give themselves to wickedness to the time that they die will not turn to righteousness, even though they be given a second chance. For the extra all truth for this time is what decides each one's destiny. For the wise shall embrace the additional truth, while the foolish will not. Sin is indeed a mystery. So this is the end of Two Tongue Green number 7. Brother B.T. Howard. Okay, we're going to close out our study with two-time degrees number 4. The name of that sermon is "The Dead and the Living Make Up the Whole House of Israel." Gog, the G-O-G, failed. Okay, now it says August the 30th, 1947, Vichy Hallett did this sermon. So it says, our subject today is found in Ezekiel 37-39. These chapters are long and time will not permit us to read every verse, nor even to comment much on them. And so we shall not try to cover all the verses in chapters 38 and 39, nor say all that can be said. The verses we omit, however, really need no comment, for with this light at hand as you study the chapters at your own leisure, the truth of them will stand out brightly. Ezekiel 37:1-12. For the hand of the Yeshua, the Son, was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Yeshua, and set me down in the midst of the valley is full of the dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there are very many in the open valley, and lo, they are very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, Yeshua, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Yeshua. Thus saith Yeshua unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yeshua. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone unto his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yeshua, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto the Son of Man, these bones are the whole WHOLA house of Israel. Now what Vichel should have said, this is the whole ancient house of Israel. Because those valley of dry bones is not the whole house of Israel down to the end of time. The whole house of Israel, you want to make the 144,000, goes with part of the whole house of Israel. So he then said that these are the whole house of the ancient Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yeshua, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Here we see how the dead are to be raised. First, the bones are gathered together, bone to bone. Next, the flesh is added, then covered with the skin, and finally breath is given them. In the Genesis, we are told that Adam's body was made from clay. Then breath was put into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. By the combined air with the clay, the man became a living soul. So the scriptures reveal that the resurrection is but a recreation, okay, of man. That the man received, let's do it again. So the scriptures reveal that the resurrection is but a recreation. For the man receives a new body out of the old, but in order to be the same man that once lived and died, then made alive again, he necessarily is given the former intellectual knowledge and memory of his life's experience. Truly, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. All the while they are in their graves, Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. Ezekiel 37:13-14. And you shall know that I am the Yahshua, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahshua, have spoken it and performed it, says the Yahshua. Not only will he raise his people from their graves, but he will also bring them into the land of Israel, for the dead to live again is indeed a miracle, but not much greater than for a worm to bury itself in the ground, or to enclose itself into a cocoon or the like, than to go in the state of the unconsciousness, change it from his form and become a beautiful butterfly cruising through the air instead of crawling on the ground. This and other wonders do not seem miracles because they are common daily occurrences. If in the beginning Yahweh could create the earth out of nothing, he can recreate man much easier. And to start with, he at least has the man's bones and his intellectual knowledge of good and evil. Ezekiel 37:15-19. For the word of the Yahweh, as the Yahshua came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it. For Judah, that's the two tribe kingdom, and that's the house of David, and for the children of Israel, his companions, and that's the ten tribe kingdom of the north. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, the ten tribes, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one and mine hand. Here we are plainly told that the two ancient kingdoms, the types, he is to restore and join and so bring out the antitype. Ezekiel 37:20-21. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before thine eyes, And this Ezekiel is actually antitypical David.
Okay.
That's his real name. Antitypical David with the Elijah's message. And it says, and they say unto them, let's read that again, Ezekiel 37:20-21. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith Yeshua, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, and whither they be gone, and will give them on every side, and bring them into their own land. For the faithful from among the descendants of Israel that were scattered throughout the nations will, we are concretely told, be gathered and brought back into their own land. These descendants of the tribes of Jacob, we must not, however, construe to be the unbelieving Jews of the day who are trying to gain possession of Palestine. For the kingdom here predicted, you know, is to be made up only of the converts unto Yeshua, mostly from the tribes who were scattered and lost sight of among the Gentile nations, including the descendants of those who made up the early apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed of the 12 apostles, of those who no longer call themselves Jews, that means of the tribe of Judah, or the Pharisees, that more call themselves Pharisees, but apostolics. These, besides those of the Gentile nations who joined the Yeshua, are obviously to make up this pre-millennial kingdom in the promised land. Ezekiel 37:22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. This consolation, you know, is permanent. And since there are no sinners in it, it obviously, as shown elsewhere in our literature, is the result of the judgment, and I'm going to put that, of the living in the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. That is the judgment for, they say the judgment for living, and purification of the church, for the separation of the bad faith from the good, Matthew 13:47-48. For the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The harvest of the first fruits, 144,000, that stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1. The remnant then follows the ingathering of the second fruits, and that's your Gentile nation, Revelation 7:9. Your knowledge of these things, though, will not benefit you if you do not make a desperate effort to be of or one with the 144,000. You more must have this extra oil in your vessel. Matthew 25:1-12. Now, while it is so freely dispensed, to get it later will not profit you, for the late comers will find the door closed. Their knocking on the door will only cause them to hear the Master say, depart from me, I never knew you. Matthew 7:23. Indeed, you must immediately avail yourself of this life-giving oil. Now, while it is brought to your door, if it is to do you any good. Ezekiel 37:23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their king. Let's prove that out. after the subjects of the kingdom of the Judah and Israel, the 10 tribes, are gathered from among the heathen, the nations, and they themselves become a nation and a kingdom, then they are to be cleansed, and not before, say the scripture. From these you see that this is the work of the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the purification of the church, testimony by and by faith, the cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3, the harvest time, blotting out the sins and defects of the penitent, and doing away with the impenitent. It is in the judgment for the living that the purifies the church, for it sets her apart from the world and fits her for the gathering of the people, Revelation 18:4, makes her the ark for today, a place of the refuge for all who wish to escape the flood. Thereafter the saints remain clean. They sin no more. They are Yahweh's clean and faithful people forevermore. There has never, therefore, come to Yahweh's people a more important message than this. Ezekiel 37:24-28. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. Now this is in the 12th parabolic hour and the general living. This is after the saints have been purified and there's no sinner among them. Why? What happened to the sinners? They've all been destroyed. Ezekiel 9 says that the man is angel with the 5 slaughtering weapons destroyed them. There's no wicked around. And we're still in the judgment of the living. And now man has passed the point of sinning. He don't sin no more, but yet he's still in this world, in the 12th parabolic hour. And in this time, and then in this 12th parabolic hour, when this all takes place, Ezekiel 37:24-28 kicks in. And David, my servant, shall be king over them during that time, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Now this is an additional covenant besides the new covenant that he made with the house of Israel in the New Testament. This is another covenant. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with this special house of David. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my tabernacle, my sanctuary, in the midst of them forevermore. So now here's that fulfillment of Ezekiel 48, the last chapter of Ezekiel here. He talks about this here, tabernacle in the midst of the land. This is a prophecy for it. Okay, it says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their king, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So Yahshua now has got his new tabernacle, and that prophecy is in Amos 9. Verse about 12, 13, 14. That prophecy is in verse. Yahshua said, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen down, and I will close up the breaches thereof. Yahshua said, I'm the one that's going to do this in the last days. And I'm going to reign in it. And I'm going to reign on the throne of David in this tabernacle that I'm going to come and raise up. Plainly then, all these things take place in the sight of the heathen. And who are the heathen? They're the terrorists in the Adventist Church, the spiritual house of Israel, all over the world. That's your heathen. When they realize that the purified saints of 144,000 have been taken out from among them, this Yahshua purifying himself in the sight of those heathen Adventists, those Trinity doctrine people, those Catholic doctrine people, of the general conference that would accept the 2300 day prophecies. Instead, they accepted the false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one persons of the Godhead. They're the ones that Yahshua is going to be sanctified in the mission to their eyes. And they're called heathen. Those terrors that was cut off of the Adventist Church are called heathen. That they may see and know that the Yahshua has done for his, what the Yahshua has done for his people. Thus will they know that he has loved them. Ezekiel 38:1-2. And the word of Yahshua came unto me, saying, Son of man, sit thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of the Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. This brings in verse 30, this is our contact, this is the 11th hour call, that's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The 90 and 9. There are 90 and 9 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Away from the tender shepherd's care. Now thou hast heard the 99, are not enough for thee, that the shepherd may answer this of mine, has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crawled, nor how dark was the night that the young assumed ere he found his ship that was lost. Out in the desert when he heard his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. Now whence are those blood drops all the way that mark at the mountain's track? He was shed for one who had gone astray, that the shepherd should bring him back. Cause whence are the hands so rent and torn? He appears tonight by many a thorn. Appears tonight by many a thorn, but all
cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the King brings back his own.